pulls out. And Jessica, I got more stuff up here, so, okay. Everybody stand to your feet. Get your Bibles out. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what the Word says I can do. It's the living seed of God living in me, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never will I be the same. God increase, pastor decrease. Give me ears to hear what God has to say. I'm going to walk with power, not let the loss get left. Amen. You guys may be seated. Thank you guys for joining with us in prayer and just standing with us. And as we were able to present and for the family to go forward. You know, one of the things Pastor Rita and I have always strived to be in one of our, when first was starting in ministry, there was basically what you would call after our pastor had passed away, all the elders and leaders were all in the room trying to decide what was going to be done next. And so there were some people that were bitter and angry and frustrated. And I remember Pastor Rita saying, all we know is that God called us to preach in this area in Central Texas. That's all we know. And y'all can do whatever else y'all want to do, but that's what we're going to do. And basically, the meeting was over for us at that point. We were walking out, and there was some people that were, they were just some mean stuff. Now, again, I appreciate my ignorance, because that kept me out of jail that day. Because the one of the ladies, the praise and worship leader person, wife said, y'all just some pre-Madonnas. So you see y'all's facial expression? That's an insult. I didn't know that. I thought she was, I don't listen to Madonna is what I'm thinking. Like, you got the wrong guy. Thank God I didn't know what that meant. Because there'd have been a different response. I was new. I was like, I don't listen to Madonna. What's she talking about? She's so secular. What is she saying? You know, your confidence can come across to a person as fearful as arrogant. Because you studied and found out, they think you're being arrogant because they don't know. And because you're sure about your answer, and they're not sure about their question, they think you don't know. So that's what the title of today's message is, I have somewhere to be, right? I got somewhere to be. And I got somewhere to be, and I got someone to be. I don't have time to be in the middle of something that's frustrating me. I don't have time to be in the middle of anger. I don't have time to be in the middle of sadness. I don't have time to be in the middle of this hurt. I have somewhere to be that God has called me to. And go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Right? Go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Quit. I say this in schools, but I say this for adults. Quit auditioning for friendships. If they don't love you by now, stop the audition. Right? You've been doing everything you can to make them like you, everything you can. You done gave all your stuff, some of your bill money, you helping them get, stop. You got somewhere to be. Right? That friendship is not worth your peace of mind. You have to go back, and you got to go back to the peace of mind of what God has called you and where God has called you. And what he's fellowshipping with you. So listen to this. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So Paul clearly speaks of us moving forward. Moving forward, he clearly speaks. I kid you not. This is 100%. If you're facing an attack or challenge, especially if it's a verbal attack or someone's attacking you, let me tell you something. That person is not what they're after. They are after your faith. You gotta know this, because you'll spend your time pointed toward there when God is saying you got somewhere to be, and it's not this argument. You're supposed to be over here praying. And that's what Pastor Reed and I, we faced something really major, attack against this character. And we were, and as you know, and I want to believe I'm saved from my anger, but I'm not. Because there are things that when I get angry, I have to work it out. And I mean, go work out. Right? And I have to make sure I don't turn into what I used to be. But also in that whole point of not turning into what I used to be, I get focused on trying not to go commit a crime. I know people don't want to hear that from the pastor, but I know I want to pray for people with my hands real close together and squeezing at the same time. Oh, yeah, I love you. Just say it back. Say it. Repeat it. But I know y'all can't say that because y'all good Christian people and y'all don't think of that. And it's hard to think that a pastor gets mad. They do. This one does. This one does. And I start thinking like, well, just one time. Just one time. And so God is like, God was telling me, and it was a battle, because you know, when you get attacked, you're like, man, I done all this. And then that's, but okay. Okay. Anyway. And God says, my mother was sick. My mother was loose. She couldn't remember anything. She was sick. She had gotten down to 105 pounds. I'm fighting this one. God said clearly, your mother is dying because you're fighting people that's been lying. He rhymed it. Stop fighting a lie to keep your mother, to make your mother, help your mother not die. So I turned, because I'm over here, I'm trying to defend myself. And God is saying, I need you over here stopping this weapon that's been formed against your mother. And the minute we did that, I did that because Pastor Rita was well on her way. But let me tell you, when the body is one, the two should become one. When one is over here fighting a lot and not supposed to be, and when I turned and told them, they given her the wrong medicine. That's all God told me. Get that medicine out of her. It's poison in her mind. It's the wrong medicine. And they took and they stopped giving her the medicine. She's back up to 152 pounds as of today. She can remember everything. She can remember every stuff. Do not fight the wrong battle. It ain't worth it. So what? They're going to think negative. So what? Don't let your family die. That's the whole point of even starting a trouble. Say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. The principality was greater than the flesh and blood. You go and save your family. They're trying to pull you off. And since school has started, let me say this to you. Since school has started, you'll be, don't get caught up in fighting for your bills and fighting for, I know you need money, pray over it, but don't be so caught up you forget to pray over what you're sending out there in public. He says clearly, press toward the mark. He said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I press toward the high calling. I got somewhere to be. I can't be remembering what I did wrong. I can't be remembering how bad I fell. All I know is God forgave me, and I'm going to press in that direction. That's my mark. I got somewhere to be. I got somewhere to be. I cannot stay here. I can't stay here. I can't stay here where nobody believes. I can't hang out here where nobody wants to pray. I can't hang out here where there's no worship. I can't hang out here where there's no praise. I got somewhere else to be. And I, listen, I gotta go. There's a prize out there. There's a prize out there. And so yesterday, this one little girl, for some reason, I said, does anybody have any questions? Yes. We do. We have several questions. Why do you get up so early? Because ain't nobody else up at that time. How about that? Some alone time. What do you do when you get up that early? I go work out. One little girl, why would you go work out? It's because I don't want to die. She go, you ain't going to die. I said, you don't know that. But guess what I ain't going to do? I ain't going to die not working out. I said, I want to live better than the people that was before me lived. And I said, I'm not going to settle for anything less than that. I'm not going to settle for that. I believe I'm not just supposed to be here for my time. I'm supposed to be here for other generations. That's why Pastor Rita was saying, your obedience is not just for you. It's for others. So again, when we got the message, when God told us, when we said, and how many of y'all ever prayed this, Lord, use me any way you want. Anybody ever prayed that way, right? Lord, use me any way you want. So then that takes away your complaint that those people just used me. Because Jesus is like, I thought I was using you. I gave them all that stuff and they didn't come around. I told you to do it, so you mad at me? So one of our areas is if I got some place to be, if I have some place to be as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, I have some place to be. I have to be at these places. At 4 a.m., I have to be in prayer. There's places I have to be. I have to be, thank God for the little bit of sleep that I need. I don't need much, but I cannot undo and become undone trying to be where somebody else wants me to be. I have to be where God's called me to be. It's a direction. He must let go of the past. So life will never bring its intended reward if the past has been held on to. So someone brings up your past, keep bringing up your future. They bring up your past. Oh, no, I'm headed with Jesus. Forgiveness is the place we have to be in order to live in God's best for our life. Forgetting the past is just the first step. Now, it's one thing to not want to be like somebody else. It's a whole different lifestyle to want to be what God has called you to be. My father was a pimp, a drug dealer, and local mafia leader. I did not want to be like that. That's one step. That's not the only step. If I'm not headed anywhere, I'm going to go back to where I used to be. The Bible says when seven demons were cast out of a person, the demons went around looking in dry places, came back to that person, found out it was swept and garnished, and came back seven times worse than they did before. Oh, Pastor, that can't be so. Let's take demons out of it. You ever stop doing something, I'm not going to say what, for a while, and then the next time it came back, because it was swept, but not filled, it came back worse. Ever lost weight before? Let me just do that one. Y'all want to act like it ain't lunchtime. Let's ever got rid of the demon of cake? You know what I mean? Like, that sugar devil. This angel's cake. You ever got rid of it, and then you did good, and then it came back. Boom. You've swept, garnished, but not filled. If you do that in your spirit life, the same thing will happen. It'll come back even worse. But the one thing you have to remember is that now you know something. You know that you're capable of it. Now you know that you are valuable enough that they're worth stealing something from you and being able to do this. And the Bible tells us that we should take no thought for tomorrow. So listen, he says, forget the past, but don't take thought for tomorrow, right? Yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present, right? That's why they call it the right now. It's a blessing right now. It's a gift right now. He says to press on right now, not tomorrow, not one day, press right now. You press in toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, not when you get ready to, not when you get better, not when you get stronger. You press now. I have to press now. When God asked Adam and Eve, he says, Adam, where are you? It wasn't that he didn't know. He knew Adam didn't know where he was. He says, where are you? You should be pressing right here. Where are you going? Well, I heard I was naked. Anybody else have to hear you was naked? And I was ashamed, and we hid ourselves. Someone's trying to bring up your stuff. Don't go hide. Go stand before God. Remember, there's two things, right? Do we want to, what's worse, grieving the Holy Spirit or quenching the Holy Spirit? Grieving is committing a sin. You make a mistake. We all have done it. Romans 3:23 says so. Grieving is letting that sin go on and keeping us from serving God anymore. Then you quench him. I made a mistake, and now I'm no good for that because I don't want to look like a hypocrite. Anybody ever heard that? Ever said that to yourself? Okay, don't raise your hand. I keep asking for participation. I'm sorry. You make a mistake, what you're going to do, the worst thing you can do is not let God bring you up. I don't feel right. I'm going to just cut you off, God, because I can't serve you anymore because I don't want what people going to think about me. I mean, y'all don't really think I don't sin, right? Y'all don't. I mean, not on purpose. Man, I'm not out there just doing it road rage on purpose. It happens. You cut some people off, you follow them for a little while. You know, it just happens. You help. Yeah, you know, it just happens. Not bad, but it happens. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you saw, you know, almost hit a little Jeep out there. You saw. You ain't never tried to have that conversation at 85 miles an hour? Like, hey. And then, you know, you make sure you don't have no Jesus stuff up at the time. God said, ain't you got somewhere to be? Because you're not in your right mind right now. Right? So people think it's just physical. Sometimes you need to be in your right mind. You don't need to jump up worrying about everything. The first thing you need to do is jump up and praise God that you woke up. Right? Because if you don't wake up, that is jacked up. That's a bad deal. That if you don't get up. So the Bible says to take up your cross daily and to keep us from being trapped or caught up in the past. The past has power to ensure pain. The future has power to ensure worry. The presence has the power to ensure peace. Stay right here. Just stay right here. Like, well, one day I'm going to be this. Well, if I hadn't have done that. No, God said right here, I got your peace right here. You don't have to go back and fix something you can't fix, and you don't have to try to fix something you don't know is coming. Most times we worry about things that never even show up to be a problem. I used to think quicksand was going to be an issue, watching all them cartoons growing up. There's no problem with quicksand. I was thinking I'm short, and I go in, that's it. Not a deal. And some of us are worried about something that has not happened, may not ever happen. And the last thing you want to do is go into it worrying. We want to go into it strength. Verse 15 speaks of the mark that we are supposed to be and that striving for perfection. Striving is fueled by our thought life. What you think about the longest will become the strongest in your life. Luke 9:62, the Bible says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit. No man, if you put your hand there, because if you put your hand to the plow and you're looking back, you're going to drive crooked. You're going to make a crooked row, right? Your row isn't going to be straight, right? And so you look at these things and you think, okay, well, God, if I'm not supposed to be looking back, what am I supposed to do? Move forward toward the mark. Move forward toward the mark. I don't have to worry about who's not in my life. I'm about the people who are in my life. Not who's left, but who's left. Right? And so, again, when we think, here's God. He says, forget those things. Put your hand to the plow. Don't look back, because when you look back, it makes you unfit. Your roles become unfit. If what we are doing isn't about the kingdom of God, we need to have somewhere to be. Grace and mercy grabbed us, and we are to grab it daily to avoid the trap of wandering and losing sight of where we belong. Grace grabbed you. Now God says you've been saved by grace, right? Free gift. Now grab grace. So a lot of times we're not as violent. And even though the Bible says the violent take it by force, right? The kingdom of God suffer violent take it by force. Grab grace and move forward so you know how to be human around people that do get on your nerves, because they're going to. But the same grace that God used for you, you can use for them. But you got to grab it. Got to grab that patience. Got to grab that peace. You got somewhere to be. Well, I'm just upset. I'm worried. You at the wrong place. You can't get that from there. Cain had this same thing. Cain was out of place. God came to Cain and he says, why is your countenance fallen? We would say this, why your face ugly? I mean, upset. Upset. I prayed for hours to not say that wrong, and it still came out. He was upset, right? And now you can tell people in a bad mood, the face. And God says, why has your countenance fallen? Right? So he was upset. And when you let that play out outwardly or inwardly, it played out outwardly. He ultimately killed his brother. And when you're out of place internally, you'll ultimately do something out of place externally. You've got to be in place right here. Great woman. And the Bible said, he that finds a, and y'all help me who know the Bible, finds a wife. The lady jumped in. Finds a good thing. So somebody's got that verse down, okay? He that finds a wife. And we were the place, the church we started in was a lot bigger than this one, but it wasn't as big as some of the other places. And so we had this lady, this great lady. She goes, I'm going to go over there because the pool is bigger. Okay? The Bible says, narrow is the way. That's what I read. Right? But she can go over there because there's more on the menu. There's more men. Let me just quit trying to fix it up. And y'all know, it's about to be lunchtime. When you have too many choices, you sit around and talk about it too much. Right? God says, if you just stay in my choice, you're going to be all right. It don't matter where you are because they're supposed to find you anyway. Why are you hunting? Right? She's out there. Now, I get it. If you watch Wild Kingdom, the lioness is out there, but that's for food. And she left and is no longer serving God. We mark it, right? Mark it. It doesn't mean that God won't promote you somewhere else, but that's one of the things we look at. Where are they? Where are they now? Because when you lose that position, when you stop being where you're supposed to be, you'll get out there and you'll wander off. You'll wander off. You see one of our greatest, if people say, I want to see a miracle. And I'll try to keep this because it get too emotional. I wish you could have seen, just for lack of a better way, Johnny in that bed. Still praising God. I wish you could have seen that. As a pastor, I don't want to see anybody in a bed going away. But I do want to see people still know who God is when things around it don't look right. Okay? That's faith. That's belief. People get their blessings. They jump around like, oh, I love the Lord. Something go wrong. I hate them. Now, they don't use I hate them, but they don't want to serve them. They don't want to serve him. But he knew he had somewhere to be. He knew he had somewhere to be. And he praised God, loved God, and trust God. He knew he had somewhere to be. You can ask Jessica. She'll tell you. She's right there. Where are we? I got somewhere to be. I can't be sitting up here arguing with you. I can't be sitting up here fighting with you. So the next time your wife wants to have, or your spouse, let me say spouse, wants to have intense fellowship, just say, mentally, I got to be somewhere. And then make sure the skillets and stuff is hidden. She said, no, you need to be in this conversation. No. Mm-mm. No. Let's talk about it. Nah. It's not. Pastor said, here's where. And y'all let me know when you do it. Text me, hey, I'm about to use your reference so I can turn my phone off. Pastor said I'm supposed to go somewhere. When you start asking the same question over and over again and you won't accept the answer I gave you, I don't have a different answer. I'm supposed to go somewhere. Well, technically, you're not supposed to go somewhere. You're supposed to take each other with you. Let's pray and let's be peaceful. And then we can come back to this later. That's what we're supposed to do. Reaching comes at the cost of leaving, because not leaving will cost us our strength, our length, and our strength. It'll cost us our reach. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Right? Double-minded means you have two visions. And if you're in a family and you're raising your kids, if you have a vision of how you want to discipline your kid and your spouse has a vision of another, you're going to create division. And a parent that wants to get the belt out is always going to lose to the parent that don't want to do that. And they're going to always want to run over there and go back to that parent because that parent don't really want to discipline the kid. and they're going to lose that because they want to be fun parent. It ain't fun visiting them at the police station. It ain't fun visiting them in the hospital. So you get it. So you can't have two visions. The Bible says that it is impossible to serve God and mammon. You're going to either love one, and you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one or hate and hate the other. One or the other. One of them is not going to be celebrated. One is going to be tolerated. And think about, am I tolerating God or am I celebrating God? Am I God of my faith? Do I celebrate God with my life? Am I a celebrator? Am I tolerating? I come to church and I tolerate God. Tolerate reading my Bible. I tolerate worship. Because no, I got somewhere to be. So I press so I don't divide. Two or more gathered together in his name, that works too, right? The Bible says where two or more gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of touching anything. That means there's faith. Also, where two or more fearful people gather together, there's fear. It works the same way. The power of agreement can agree you into a disaster just as much as it can bring you into a deliverance. Who do you have agreeing with you? Your friends are either making you weaker or making you stronger. You're either growing weeds or flowers. I hate that I have to say that with a strong S. So strong. The people we choose are making us stronger, right? Matthew 26:41, talking about the disciples up there praying. Now, we all got to pray this morning. The five of us got up here and we got to pray. But listen, it says that indeed the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? And if you're supportive of the flesh, you're going to become weak. You're supportive of the spirit, even if you haven't had enough sleep, even if you're tired, you're going to be strong. You're going to willfully and want the will of God when it's spirit fed. When it's flesh fed, you're going to get tired at the simplest things. At the smallest things, it's going to wear you out. Indeed, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus sent, walked away, had his disciples watch and pray. He came back, they were asleep. You can get more worn out at church for 90 minutes or however long we're here than you can at a three-hour movie. I mean, not even movies. People don't like that. Four-hour game. Doing anything else other than the things of God. You can get more tired in a short amount of time of spirit because your flesh is too involved. So the only thing we would say is, you got somewhere to be. And say, God, help me to be in the spirit. It's a simple prayer, right? Galatians 5:16-17 says, walk in the spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your flesh is hunting for you. And in this heat, the simplest things can set you off. The simplest things. I had no money yesterday. I was out of town. I say no money. That's not true. I lost my car. It was compromised. Someone was trying to get gas in the city I wasn't in. Okay? It didn't work. But they have to immediately cancel. So I had to use the wallet, the phone wallet, digital wallet. I don't like that, but I had to use it. I've never used it before, and it wasn't working. You know, your gas light, and it gets down to 2 bars. I was out of town. It kept asking me for a passcode. I said, they didn't give me one. I'm calling people. They say, use your code. I ain't getting no code. I don't have a card. The card was lost. They ain't give me no code. What they give you? They go, what are you using? You got Apple Watch? No, I got an Android. Now, shut. Just sit over there. And y'all, I ain't got no hair. The way that sun, I don't know what's happening in Dallas. I don't know if that's where Revelations is starting, but it's hotter. It's hotter down there. The sweat was beating off my, like, it was leaking. I'm standing at the gas pump. I said, lady, this thing ain't work. She go, what is it saying? Nothing. She go, hit it again. What is it saying? Nothing. And I'm screaming at the gas pump. And she goes, if it's Google, why don't you just put in your password that unlocks your phone? That was it. Yeah, see, when it said unlock, it's because your phone wasn't unlocked. she goes, just professional. Is there anything else I can do for you? Nope, there's nothing else you can do. Some of us get overactive about something that's a simple answer. And Jesus gives us a simple answer. Quit waiting for this long, difficult, drawn-out answer and get the simple answer. Listen to this. Oh, man, I love this. This is, I'm going to take this. People reject things every day they cannot afford. And they left not because you are worthless, but because they couldn't afford to pay the cost of you pursuing God's high calling. You think people left you because you were worthless? They broke. They can't afford you. They can't afford how you're following Christ. They ain't got enough resources for you. It ain't that you're worthless. They too broke to pay for you. They done walked into the store that cost too much. You not the worthless one. They broke. Mentally, physically, emotionally. I was like, yeah, you ain't got enough. I cost too much. I want to be in prayer. That costs too much. I want to be in worship. That costs too much. I want to read my Bible. That costs too much. You don't have enough. You can't fake your way in my relationship, right? I cost too much. And so I was like, man, that's crazy. You think about that, because so many people think like, oh, what's wrong with me? They the ones. When people walk in Gucci and walk out with nothing, them people ain't mad. They know they ain't want you dealing with your check, hopping around there like Bugs Bunny. Bouncing. They don't feel worthless. Why do we do that? Because somebody left, we feel worthless. They couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford your integrity. Man, it's too expensive. It's too expensive. Well, I'm leaving. I know. You ain't got nothing. You couldn't pay. You couldn't purchase your money no good here. We don't take change. That gets us up. That moves us to this, right? Philippians 4, 6 through 8. And let me move it along here. Be careful for nothing, but in all things be by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Quit letting your requests be made known unto people. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, that's what you're supposed to be thinking about. If it's not that, don't think it. This is a command, not an option. It's a command. It's not optional how you think. It's a command to think on these things. Because if you don't, you're going to worry about all the other things. And God has given us something to think about so we don't have to worry about it. It's a command. Undue care is an intrusion into the arena that belongs to God. So when you care for things that you shouldn't be caring about, you're intruding on what God is already wanting to take care of. It makes us the father in the household instead of being the child. Have y'all ever had your children try to run your house? I hand them a bill. Go pay it. There you go. Electric. Go do something with that. Go do that. Or we're going to be in the dark. Go. Wi-Fi, go pay that. Then you can get on your game. Right? We do that to God all the time. We want to go and play father when we should be children of God. Should be children of God. The peace of God is unruffled serenity of his joy. The eternal composure of being absolutely well contented with God. Much of the Christian life comes down to the mind. Right? We say, mind your... There you go. See, that's the one y'all took, right? Mind your business. I was going to say mind your Bible, but we'll go with business. Right? Because it's the same thing, right? Mind your business. Romans 12:2 speaks of the essential place of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians 4:23 say, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5 speaks of the importance of casting down this one says arguments. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What we choose to meditate on matters. Listen, y'all, if somebody tries to argue with you, cast it down. I can't wait. You know what? I'm going to keep my phone on silent. Can't wait to hear from y'all. You didn't put that up. I cast that down. Trash, still going to be there. It's an evil imagination. Cast it down. Cast it down. Luke chapter 8, verse 49 through 50. While he was still speaking, someone arrived from the house of synagogue leader. Funny part about that, he'd been here a billion times. He know that door. I can't wait to see A-Train at the end of the service. Synagogue leader. Okay, stay focused. They said, your daughter is dead. He told Jairus, do not bother the teacher anymore. But Jesus overheard them saying to Jairus, do not be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. Jesus turned and told Jairus, you have somewhere to be. I know what they told you, but you have somewhere to be, and that is to believe. They said, your daughter is dead. Isn't it amazing? They want to bring you news and information so you'll quit trusting Jesus. And he says, no. Here's where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to believe. You're supposed to believe. Don't go there. Stay here. You're in believe zone. And he says, you got somewhere to believe. Your daughter will be healed. So that's what jumped me back to it. Your mom will be healed, but I need you to believe over here and get out of that report. You got to get out of that report because you got somewhere to be. I got somewhere to be. I'm important. God's the Spirit of God's waiting on me over here. I got to get over here and meet with God. I got somewhere to be. He's chosen me to be in a place with him. If we follow what people have to say, we will miss out on being in the mind of Christ where healing, deliverance, and salvation lives. Never waste your time fighting with people that are not a part of the prize that Jesus made available through his death and resurrection. I can't waste my time fighting somebody where there's no prize of Christ. And since I wrestle not against flesh and blood, I'm not going to wrestle with you. I'm going to go get before God and pray. I'm going to go get before God and pray. We can't do it. Amen? Amen. You guys bow your heads. Let's pray. Let's do just that. So, Father, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I pray that everyone's right here, right now. They are being here. They have somewhere to be, and that's in your presence. And Father, I just pray and I thank you, Lord God, that as you just mentally, emotionally, and spiritually are pulling people right now, pulling them out of places that they may have been stuck in for years, believing something about themselves that was not accurate and was not true. And Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus as they start to point themselves toward what you've called us to be. That, Lord, that we'll be able to stand and say, I'm going to be where Jesus has put me. I can't afford to be anywhere else. And just like you can't afford to be around me, I can't afford not to be around Christ. It's too expensive not to be where God has called me to be. It's too expensive not to be where God wants me to be. It's too expensive not to be who God has called me to be. So, Lord God, I lay it down. I lay it down that I'm going to go and be right present where you've told me to be in my life. I thank you, Jesus, for the word that I received, that the people that left me didn't mean I was worthless. They were no longer capable of affording the values and the strength of your presence in my life. I'm thankful for that. I needed that today, Lord Jesus. I needed to hear that. I needed to know that. I thought I was less than. Come to find out all along, I was fearfully and wonderfully made, more than enough. And I receive that in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you that as a church, that we're going to be exactly where we need to be this entire week. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen, amen.